Here we go. A fascinating thing. We're up to Klalim of the Poskim, part 3. So when we get to Shulchan Aruch, let's have some fun. So are you allowed, and this is going to sound blasphemous, are you allowed to paskin from Shulchan Aruch? Right? So to many people listening, it's be like, where else should you be paskining from? We hope. We're not looking at some other rule book. So if you look through the Klale HaPoskim, so there's countless books. We always like to do show and tell. Number one, Steichemed. Steichemed was the Rav in the Crimea. Yeah? And he ended up going back to Eretz Yisrael. He's from Eretz Yisrael. The Yad Malachi preceded him. The Primegadim wrote full Klalim, walking step by step in the nitty-gritty. Yeshoimrim, V'yeshoimrim, Stam V'yeshoimrim, Yeshoimrim, V'yesh Mishoimrim. This is what we've been doing during the past couple of weeks. So, I'm going to get to the Primegadim, which we might get to tonight if we have time. He starts doing history, which is fascinating because when you have two different works written by the Rashba that contradict themselves, so we always, the rule and thumb is we go after the later one. So you need to know historically which one came later, and it will have halachic ramifications. This is why it's so cool. The Primegadim, the Poisek who he was, turns into a historian, it seems like, as he's trying to figure out which one came later. And there are countless times when it comes up. So that's why I actually have to know. So where are we going to start with today? We started with, are you allowed to paskin from Shulchan Aruch? So where does the story begin? It begins from a Mari Tatz. Who is the Mari Tatz? We'll get there 1 week on Sunday nights. We skipped him by Shalosh Shudas and Shul. This is a Shul member. So we skipped him Shalosh Shudas and Shul. So Mari Tatz was of Yontif Tzahalon. He was right after the Beis Yosef. He was one of the Tshuva Sefer. He's known as for his Tshuvas. And he writes a klal. He says, the Beis Yosef walks you through in his Akdama why he wrote Shulchan Aruch. The reason is because he wanted to serve as a summary of the Beis Yosef. So you learn the whole Beis Yosef. And it's so lengthy and so, you know, it's really lengthy. So don't worry. You can go and learn Shulchan Aruch, and once a month you'll be able to get through all Dalet Chalakim. And it's great. Amazing. So, I haven't done it yet. And if anyone here has, speak now. But once a month, go through all Dalet Chalakim Shulchan Aruch. He goes and he writes that that's the function of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is not to exist on its own. Rather, it's to summarize, which means that the prerequisite to be able to paskin seems to be, it has to be a companion to the real work. The real work is the Beis Yosef, and if you don't have the accompanying Beis Yosef, you shouldn't be able to paskin from the Shulchan Aruch. So says the Mari Tatz. Great. Quoted by the Steichemet. Now the Marsha gives his own little zinger, you know, zug. He goes and he says, the Gemara in Sota goes and says that there are people who are not higia lahayra. Now those words are so vague. He's worthy of paskining. So what's the threshold? Right? And if you go through, we've spoken about this many times, if you go through every institution, in America, smicha is institutionalized. Right? By and large. Which wasn't the way it always was. But nowadays, if you meet an American product, American Rav, so which institution do you hail from? And there's not so many options. I just realized this recently. Someone asked me for like guidance in where to get smicha from. In America, it's pretty much not more than 10 main institutions across the whole country that issue a recognized smicha. So that's not the way it was back in the day, but you would assume that the way to glean what's the prerequisite and what's the threshold is by looking what's in the curriculum for each respective smicha, right? That's a fair assumption, just in logic. So, what's higil ohira? It's not clear. The Gemara says if someone's higil ohira and doesn't paskin, the Gemara says terrible things about him, that you're withholding this skill from the masses. And the flip, if a person is not higil ohira and paskins, he's destroying the world. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. Terrible things about someone who does that. So the Marsha in the Chidushei Agados, that's on the Agadata, the Marsha over there goes and says, what's the Pshat? He says, I'll tell you what it means. You have these people nowadays. What's nowadays in Marshall's times? The mid-1600s. You have these people nowadays who are passing me from Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Gemara means. Right? It's like taking the context. That's what the Gemara means. There, you can't be Higil Ha'ira if you just open up a Shulchan Aruch and just start paskening. It doesn't work. You can't do that. Adkan the Marsha. So you stop there. So the average guy, right? If you ask the average guy, they didn't get through all Dal Chalkei Shulchan Aruch in a month, and they haven't seen every Beis Yosef on every Shulchan Aruch they've learned. Fair assumption? And many accomplished, and some of the greatest rabbanim of all time may never have seen every single Beis Yosef accompanying every single Shulchan Aruch that they paskined based off of. So, I had a Rebbe one time who led a Chabura that started from Shulchan Aruch. This is bad news. And it was a Hayra Chabura to learn how to paskin. So, this was his introduction. You know, this is so bad. This is a terrible idea. How could we possibly do this? And he shared a Pischei Tshuva. Yeah, now, as we mentioned in the past, I think on a Sunday night, one of the most yeshivish stories that I've seen. If you look in, there's a storybook about the stipler. It's not just a storybook. It's really about every hanhaga, what he used to read on Shabbos, what he ate. Wild, wild stuff. And he brings out a lot of stuff that he heard from his brother-in-law, the stipler's brother-in-law, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish goes and says a bunch of different stuff about how he viewed and how he rated the prior poskim in previous generations. Yeah? And it's just so cool to see. You have to be the Chazon Ish to say such bold statements. And he says in Yerideya, this is one of the lines he says, in Yerideya, Pischei Tshuva is the Poisik Achron. He's the last stop on the train. Great. So the Pischei Tshuva goes and writes in Simon Reish Mem Beis on this Sif Yodale, that Kol Chacham Shehigil Lohira Ve'ena Moira says the Shulchan Aruch Harezem Moinea Torah. He's withholding Torah. Yeah? And he's tripping people up by not allowing them to have the proper guidance. Fair? Says the Pischei Tshuva. And he says, and the flip is the Marshan Saita. The Marshan Saita goes and says that people who are destroying the world are people who are incorrectly not worthy and passing anyway. He says, V'efshir. Aval ho'inna. Yeah? V'efshir says, Rabbi Eisenstadt. That was a Pischei Tshuva's name. He was a grandson of the Panim Iris. Child Shuvas Panim Iris was of Eisenstadt. He was a Rav in Litta, and he was an Eisenstadt. Lots of Eisenstadts are around. Eisenstadters or Eisenstadts, and yeah. He goes and he says, V'efshir dafka b'zman harav marsha. Specifically in his time, Shloihaya adayin shum chibur ala shulchan aruch, there were no Nisei Kalim. In the 1600s, there were no Nisei Kalim. The Shach and the Taz were printed, this from a historical standpoint, in the year Tuf Vav. Tuf Vav, right, plus 1240. Tach V'tad was 1648. Tuf Vav was 1646. The Marshal lived most of his life before 1646. He didn't have a Shach and Taz when he was learning Yerideya. So he says, Dafkin, his times where he didn't have the Shach and the Taz, Aval Ha'idna. Now in the early 1800s, mid-1800s, says the Pischei Tshuva, Sheneschaberu ha-Taz v'ha-Shach u'mogen Avram v'shari achreinim u'b'chol din ha-Tam mevur b'mkoymer. Everything has its proper backdrop. That's what the Nisei Kalim are coming to do. Why? Deliberately because they saw this pitfall that people are going to open up the shortened version and start paskening without having backdrop. Let's make the backdrop. That's why you have Nisei Kalim. Therefore, says the Pischei Tshuva, Shapir dami lahuris mitecha shulchan aruch v'achreinim. Then, now that we have the Nisei Kalim, so long as you see Shach, Taz, Magen Avram, depending on each Chelik of Shulchan Aruch, which we've spoken about once, that it's very, very, I remember feeling very, very small when a Rebbe of mine challenged everyone, can you just tell me the two main Nisei Kalim on each one of the Dalet Chelke Shulchan Aruch? No one could do it. And it's kind of like that, you know, when you get challenged, could you please say Moedim Derabanan out loud when we all say it by heart. It's yeah, it's one of those things that you just hope no one asks you. Yeah. So that's one of the first klal that you're allowed to go and paskin from Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because now we have a nice tequila. Okay, that's part one. What else do we have? So in Seicheme, he actually continues. And he goes and he writes that we know from, just to do another klal in Shulchan Aruch, we know from the Chida, we mentioned this way, way back on the Shiurim on the Beis Yosef, on Sunday nights. The Chida says a few crazy things about what he heard regarding the formation of Shulchan Aruch and the backdrop, what brought the Beis Yosef to write it, why he was eligible. There were three Yosefs in the running: Rabbi Yosef Taya Tatzak, the Mari Ben Lev, Rabbi Yosef Ibn Lev, and Rabbi Yosef Cairo. They were all counterparts. And in Shamayim, the Chida writes this. There was a conversation: who should be worthy to write it? And the Beis Yosef was chosen for countless reasons. Okay, see the Chida in Shem HaGedolim. That's his history's work on Svarim and Gedolim, two different parts, and he will walk you through the rest. So another thing he says is that the Beis Yosef always goes with the big three. The big three that he always reckons with, in Yiddish, it's reckons with. It's not by chance, yeah? The big three that he always reckons with, or that he reckons with, are the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush. Okay? The Rush was German, who moved to Spain. His son, the Tur, ended up becoming a shtickel Sephardi because he grew up in Spain. But they were German. The Rif was the Rambam's grand rebbe, because the Rif was the Rimagash's rebbe. The Rimagash was the Rambam's rebbe. Okay? And the Rambam was the Rambam. Great. Those are the big three. So he goes and he says, and this one is just for fun, because this is a klal that almost cannot be proven. Or if you're going to try to prove it, there's going to be one too many exceptions that will dispel the klal. But every rule has exceptions, right? He says that the Shulchan Aruch will sometimes give preference to the Rambam against this klal. So the Chida goes and writes that he always goes with two over one. That's how he formulates his Tzur Sapsak, which, as we mentioned in the past, which led Rebbe Ovadia Yosef to go and come in and say, I have the ability to go and add to the stacking and say, now that we have Maram, you know, hoogie doogie, and Maram this and Maram that, so now we can go and say, if the Beis Yosef had access to these Svarim, he would have folded, so we have the right to go and fold. Okay? So now, he says that sometimes we give credence and precedence to the Rambam, even though the Rif and the Rush say otherwise. One classic example where we see this is, what are we paskin regarding? Malacha. Where are we? We're in Simen Shin Tes Zayin. We're going to get there here in the Kollel. We're going to learn Seida, Tzad, trapping on Shabbos. Okay? We'll get there. So, one of the cases over here are, let's say, you caught one of the Shmona Shratzim. Okay? You caught one of the Shmona Shratzim, and let's say you didn't even realize. Or, you don't even need these Shmona Shratzim. If you catch something with the intent of skinning it for its leather, with the intent of shechting it to eat it. So that's a malacha, that's tzricha lagufa. I need the result for a purpose. When you catch it and you couldn't care less, or you want to avail the space to be bug free, that's called a malacha she'ein tzricha lagufa. How do we paskin on a malacha she'ein tzricha lagufa? What's the fact? Malacha she'ein tzricha lagufa? So we say it's putter. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. That's how the Ramah paskins. Malacha she'ein tzricha lagufa is putter. That's why extinguishing is always demoted to the Rabbanan, barring if you need the coals. Specifically need the coals to be not lit. But otherwise, it's always demoted to the Rabbanan. Why? It's malacha she'ein tzricha lagufa. Here we go. If you look in Simen Shin Tes Zayin, this is like a classic one that the Achronim bring down. regarding Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, the Mechaber goes in Paskins. It's Potter Avalasser. Ulo HaRambam Chayiv. One of the few places anywhere where he pulls that off. We're talking bottom line with the Shulchan Aruch. And he told you in the Beis Yosef, right? If Shulchan Aruch is a summary of Beis Yosef, like we sat here for the last 15 minutes, and that's what you base all of the rulings of the Shulchan Aruch off of, so what's going on? He told you in Beis Yosef that this is not how we paskin. We don't paskin like the Rambam. So here is where the Maimer Mordechai, quoted very, very often, maybe we'll do that one week, it's a good guy to a counterpart of the Chida, the Maimer Mordechai. He was Sephardi. No. Mordechai was a German Rishon. The Maimer Mordechai, right? Or Mordechai Yafi was the Lavush. The Maimer Mordechai was in the 1800s counterpart of the Chida. Fine? We just spanned many centuries. We just spanned 800 years just right there. So, he goes and he writes, this klal, he has a list of klal in the beginning, and this is one of the examples that he brings. That the Shulchan Aruch sometimes will defy his own rules and bring a sheet of the Rambam simply out of deference. Once you do that, it opens up a can of worms, right? Because that every time you're going to see a psak in Shulchan Aruch, you're going to have to go and check it against anything. The sky's the limit, right? If he passed in Beis Yosef, so great. That's where he came to this conclusion. If he didn't, maybe it's out of deference to the Rambam. And what does it mean in real time? Nothing. Hate to be so sharp, but it doesn't mean anything because la halacha anyway, we know from other places that the Beis Yosef is going to be, the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, same person, is going to be Mekel. Therefore, you'd be able to rely on that, but it definitely gives backdrop to these wordings as to what's going on. So, there you have it, some klalim of the Poskim, and to be continued, until next time.